There was no telling what Isla's silver medals were made of, but they weren't really silver. They did glint a little in the light shining through her window against the wall where she hung them. The sallow hint of sun through slight flurries of snow didn't provide much for them to reflect. If she were like everyone else, she would have to face those flurries outdoors to go to a job, but she never would be. She was Isla, the cripple, with medals that didn't measure up. In one breath, she hated the fact that there were special rules for her, because being normal and seen as normal was a dream. Yet, those very same rules made it so she could earn a living easier. Her desk sat next to her bed in her room, the various colors of the sleep mode screen bouncing around hypnotically. She worked from home, typing up court records as quickly and accurately as possible. If she checked her email just then, she'd find files to transcribe waiting for her. But first, she needed coffee. She rolled her chair out to the kitchen of her first-floor apartment and popped a cup into the single-serve coffee maker. Her phone buzzed on the counter, and she slid it toward her as she pushed the button on the machine to make her coffee. An email from Duncan Schmitz, her coach, sat at the top, and the heading read, 12 Things You Would Do Before You Die. Isla groaned. Really? We're still getting all morbs with the death talk? She shook the heavy feeling from her chest. It was Duncan. He would never do anything to purposely hurt her. He'd always been there for her, even beyond what he should have. With her current losing streak, he should have given up. She tapped the screen of her phone with her finger, expecting a link to an article, but it was just a short paragraph. Isla, I meant what I said yesterday. We're taking today off from practice, and I want you to think of 12 things you'd like to do before you die, like the 12 days of Christmas. Use your imagination. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to make as many of those come true as possible. Then you'll be able to go into that winner's circle knowing that winning isn't what you think it will be. Life is what matters. Duncan. Isla released her breath and stared at the small screen. If anyone knew what made life matter, it was Duncan. He'd been not only homeless for a time, but an orphan for most of his life. He'd seen the worst life had to offer and came out kicking. However, Duncan's life wasn't hers. She had a whole different set of needs, and he was one of the first on her list. If she had to choose, the very most important thing to do before she died would be to finally tell him how she felt. It was so hard not to. That couldn't be helped. Some secrets were worth keeping. She carefully set her phone in her lap and affixed the lid on her mug of coffee so she wouldn't spill it as she rolled back to her room. Instead of pulling up her work email, as she ought to have done, she hit the respond button on Duncan's. 12 things. It couldn't be that hard. She held her hands poised over her keyboard but couldn't force herself to type a word. What if Duncan thought they were silly? What if he didn't think they were important enough? A text popped through and she heard the buzz, though she couldn't feel it on her leg. Isla picked up the phone and smiled. Don't think too hard about this, chica. No trabajes tanto. She laughed. Yeah, don't try too hard, my foot. You try doing this. His broken Spanish was a running joke between them. Though he put forth the effort, he'd never really made it beyond about what a third grader could speak. When they were in the 9th grade, he'd pestered her to help him with his Spanish homework, saying his German tongue couldn't wrap itself correctly around Spanish words. He'd been right about that, but at least he tried. She'd been born in America to Hispanic naturalized citizens, but knew both languages fluently and often switched mid-sentence just to confound Duncan. Don't think too hard, she repeated to herself. Fine. She typed bucket list at the top of the page. 1. Be someone people look up to. 2. Visit the Minnehaha Falls. 3. Dance at the prom. 4. Go sledding. Isla glanced over her list. It was hard enough to come up with 5. How could she come up with more than double that? Her shoulders tensed as she looked at her list of 4. Every single one of them represented something she'd had to skip for one reason or another, but they all boiled down to one reason. She couldn't walk, and those things had hurt. She'd been excluded when her friends had gone. There was a deep scar for each one of the items she'd placed on the list, and if she could do them, a chance to heal. She held her breath, closed her eyes. 5. Get kissed under the mistletoe. She opened her eyes, swung the mouse up to the send button, and hit it before she could talk herself out of it. Try to arrange that one, Duncan. She laughed, but it held no humor. She was on thin ice. If he took that to mean she wanted to kiss him, he might try. Then what? What if he read it and decided she was weird, or ugly, or unworthy? She clenched her fist to her waist, her coffee burning like acid in her empty stomach. She rushed to click open the unsend function on her email. It was too late. He'd already opened it. Isla hadn't answered his text, but he knew she was awake. She was a creature of habit, as most athletes were. She got up every morning, precisely at 6:30 a.m., and did her stretches to combat clots in her legs. He still wasn't sure how she managed that alone, but every time he broached the subject, she would get frustrated and he'd drop it. After she stretched, she got dressed and ready for the day, then made coffee. He figured if he timed his email just right, she'd at least gotten her first sip before he shocked her, which was exactly what he hoped to do. The ping of a new email came through. As he opened the app, he held his breath. How had she done it so quickly? It had taken him an hour to make his own list of only 10, and he'd been thinking about it beforehand. He scanned down her list, and his eyes caught on number 5, get kissed under the mistletoe. His mouth fell open, and he gripped the arms of his chair. Could she possibly be feeling what he had? It seemed too good to be true. He hit reply, but refused to broach the pink elephant that was number 5 on her list.